From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made when the MTA was called to respond to another service outage. Now, this might sound esoteric and not related to Western New York at all, but stay with me here. The Metropolitan Transit Authority handles 5.7 million subway riders every weekday. That is 10 times down in New York City, 10 times the combined daily ridership of all other public transportation systems in the entire state. So when the MTA has problems, the MTA gets tension. But what about when Rochester has challenges? What about Syracuse and Buffalo? Recently, executives from upstate public transit systems went to the state capitol to make it clear that the state's focus shouldn't solely be on the MTA. Andrew Cuomo's $168 billion state budget proposal includes 1% increases for non-MTA transit, including the regional systems for Albany, Syracuse, Rochester, and Buffalo. Bill Carpenter is the CEO of Rochester's RTS, and he's also president of the New York State Public Transit Association. And in Albany, he said, quote, "The system has to be redesigned to meet the needs of employers, seniors, and millennials. We have a lot more demands than we used to have, but the funding isn't much different than we used to have," end quote. And so this hour is a discussion about how to move transit forward and what that means for everyone who wants to use various forms of it. My guests include Bill Carpenter, CEO of RTS, and again, president of the New York State Public Transit Association. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Evan.
Also here is Jason Partika, who is chair of the Bus Work Group for Reconnect Rochester. Jason, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
And on the line with us is Seth Triggs, the vice president for Citizens for Regional Transit. Seth, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Seth, what I want to do is make sure people understand, we know Bill, we know RTS, but your organization, Citizens for Regional Transit, what's the short definition of who you are and what you're doing?
We are a public advocacy organization, so we seek to advocate to the public that we should expand our public transit system, in, especially the metro rail system in Western New York and around Buffalo.
Very good. Well, Seth, Jason, and Bill are here to tell us about their thoughts on the future of transit. Before we do that, a brief hello from our producer, Megan Mack, who is behind the glass but working hard to tell us not just about today's show, but about day one of our winter membership campaign. Hello, Megan.
Hello, Evan. Yes, day one. We have a whole week ahead of us. But just because there's a lot of time doesn't mean that you shouldn't call now, 454-6300, to help keep programming like this on the air. Now, this is a great example of the kind of journalism we can do here at WXXI because of our listeners. We're hearing about challenges in upstate transit issues, and we're hearing the Rochester perspective, the Syracuse perspective, the Buffalo perspective. You heard Seth on the line. We can only do this with your support, having guests like this looking at the big picture with more time that you get than you get on the commercial stations. So call 454-6300. Any gift of any amount helps us keep this going. We appreciate everyone who's called so far. We've got a room full of volunteers answering your calls. It'll be quick and easy, and we can continue these conversations.
All right, 454-6300. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
All right. So our conversation this hour is going to go in a number of different directions here. And I know a lot of our listeners appreciate these kinds of discussions. You can weigh in from a number of different angles. I think tied to this, Bill Carpenter, is what's going on with Reimagine RTS, which it's probably good to kind of give people an update on what that is and what the timeline is for that plan.
Hey, thanks, Evan. So I like to take people back about 10 years when they used a phone to make phone calls instead of connect with the internet. And at that point in time, people in our community either had a bus and had a car and they didn't use the bus, or if they didn't have a car, they used the bus, walked. There weren't a lot of other options. And you fast forward those 10 years, and what you have is seniors who are saying, I want to stay in my home, and RTS, what do you have for me? Millennials who are moving into the city area, South Wedge, North Winton Village, Beechwood, saying, why would I ever want a car? A car sits mostly in a parking lot or in my garage. What kind of bus system is here? And at the same time, employment is growing in our area, but it's growing at the outskirts of the community. So the demands on a system that was designed 30 or 40 years ago, very significant. People are expecting different things, just like you expect different things from your phone. At the federal level, our funding level is the same as it was 12, 13 years ago in 2005. At the state level, Governor Cuomo's done a nice job since he took office, but it was following Governor Patterson's cuts when the recession came. So from 10 years ago, we're up 15-16%, or about 1.5% a year. So what we've done to keep going the places we've always gone is we go less frequently, and that's made it less and less attractive for people to use a bus as more and more options come along. And yet people are saying, I don't want the other options apart from having a good transit system in our community. Back in September, we opened up Reimagine RTS, which is, what if you were starting from scratch? We do get a significant amount of money, even if it's about the same as what it was 10 and 15 years ago. What would you do? How would you reimagine it? And we've had over 10,000 customers and individuals from the community, including folks from Reconnect Rochester and so many others, come to us and say, here's how we would reimagine it. This week, the consultant we've hired, Transportation Management and Design, is in our offices meeting with our community advisory committee, with our board, to say, here's the guiding principles that we've developed based on all the input from your customers, how your system is currently designed. And I'll be getting their report a couple times this week. And then we'll be out sharing it with the community, letting them know that we want a robust transit system in those places we can afford to do it. And then we want to connect with the mobility options that make living without a car so attractive, setting up mobility hubs to make it easy for people to say, well, you don't quite serve where I am, but if I can take a bike, or if I can use Uber and Lyft to get to one of your mobility hubs, well, I have good regular transit. And the goal is for that answer to be yes.
What is your timeline for this, and do people still have time to share their thoughts on it?
So continue to share your thoughts. So phase one has ended, and phase one was establish the guiding principles. The consultant will be back in May and present to our board and community advisory committee, and we'll take it out to the public. The draft plans of where are we going to have 15-minute service, where will we have 30-minute service, where will we have 60-minute service, so that people can weigh in and say, yeah, you've picked the right places. I know one of the goals that they have is what's the percentage of the population and jobs that are connected to fast, frequent service. One of the goals is guiding principles will be how do we maximize ridership? How do we make it convenient for the customer? How do we make sure it's sustainable for the long term? So some very good guiding principles that will be put into action, and then people will say, oh, so those guiding principles mean this is what happens to my route. And in May and June, we'll be out in the public where they can see exactly what that plan looks like. And then in August, they'll be back based on the feedback we get from the public during May and June. Our consultant will be back in August with what he calls final recommendations and saying, here's what your system should look like based on the guiding principles, based on the community feedback from the draft plan. And at that point in time, we'll work with our board and work with the community and say, is this what we want? I've asked the consultant, if we got more money, what would it look like? And so we're already in Albany asking for more money, and I'll expect to be back for next budget cycle to say, now we have really concrete plans on what change in funding would mean, not just for the MTA, but all of upstate transit, in particular Rochester.
In a minute, I'll ask Jason and Seth to tell us what they think, you know, changes to a system that are realistic might look like. But before we even get there, Bill, I mean, you're going to, I guess, reimagine RTS within whatever constraints you have, you know, in terms of funding. You can't magically create a pile of money that will allow you to build this thing from scratch. So you've got to work within some constraints. But you're also, in your role with RTS and as president of the New York State Public Transit Association, leaning on the governor, leaning on the state to say, hey, MTA gets a lot of the focus. It's much more modest in terms of funding to other transit options. So if they said, okay, Bill, we're going to give you what you want, does that give you more flexibility to do whatever consultants come back to you later this year and tell you that needs to be done here?
Well, I think our association recognizes, and certainly as CEO for the local public transit agency, I recognize tax dollars are really our listeners' dollars. So we have to make the point of, is it a good investment or not? And whether you drive a car or use a bus or take bikes, having a good public transit system works well for the community when everyone has access to jobs, to health care, to retail. It's a better, stronger community. And so we need to make sure everyone understands those priorities. The communities that Amazon looked at, as an example, looking at the demographics of their workforce, they said, you better have great public transit. And we have reasonably good public transit in our community. It's not great. It's not something that would attract someone to give up a car to use the bus. And that's really is, there's a multitude of mobility options. It's really the menu of owning a car, or what are all the choices in RTS? Can you better integrate that, make it easier to get around our community when people have to use the bus, and make it easier to connect with the other options when that's the best choice.
And so if the state says, okay, we're going to increase the allocation of funding for this, does that give you the chance to be more flexible more quickly with whatever comes back this year?
We've asked the governor's office for a 3-year plan of significant increases so that we can provide a public transit system, much like the MTA, that's a robust system that people can build their lives around.
Are they taking you seriously?
The governor's staff that we've talked to understand the need. They also understand the constraints of the current budget cycle. And what we've said to all the state legislatures in my testimony, 2 weeks ago, there was a joint hearing on the transportation budget. And I said, look, when you fix the MTA problem, remember it's a New York State problem, not an MTA problem. And again, the kind of dollars that we're talking about here to fix the rest of New York State are very minor compared to the MTA. You just have to think about solving the whole problem.
Okay, so Jason Partika, the chair of the Bus Work Group for Reconnect Rochester, what is the best case scenario for your group that you see coming out of Reimagine RTS? And again, knowing that there's going to be some constraints on what they can do because of money, but what do you want to see? What's one specific change that you think is the best case scenario going forward?
Probably if I wanted to go to one change, we would be looking for an increase in frequency. It seems like a lot of these times, you know, when you have a certain amount of funding, that funding can be used for only so many hours of service. And then how do you balance that? Do you have, you know, a route go twice as far but half as frequently, or do you have it go twice as frequent but only half as far? And we would like to see that rebalance more frequent than it is today. So that's kind of the nut of it, as it were.
Okay, and now you get a second choice. What else do you want to add or change when it comes to busing in Rochester?
You know, beyond that, probably what we hear most from riders isn't even the ride itself, but amenities at stops, that kind of thing. It would be nicer. I guess if we were going to redesign it, we want things like a more complete transportation network, like more bike shares at the bus stops and better seating at bus stops and that kind of thing. So even if our routes, terminated closer together to be launching pads for other modes of transportation, that's something that would probably be really helpful for our ridership.
Seth Triggs, who is the Vice President for Citizens for Regional Transit, do you agree with Bill Carpenter that, you know, New York State, at least they understand the need, they hear the need, but MTA gets a lot more focus, and that that maybe regional transit outside of New York City needs more emphasis as well?
I agree. We definitely need more help up there, especially when we have some of the larger city systems upstate. They still have many of the same challenges where you have not only a lot of sprawl where a number of jobs are located, but you also have structural changes in the riding population. Again, it was said earlier, where you have a lot of people who are not only eschewing cars, but there are people who cannot afford cars. For example, in the city of Buffalo, there's upwards of a third of the population that do not really have secure access to automobiles. So that's a very important piece of the puzzle, and we want to be able to ensure that the NSTA, for example, in the Buffalo area, remains as a viable commuting option, and certainly one that will help people be connected to their economic opportunities as well as just life in general. There are all kinds of community amenities and work and school. All of those things are supported by Metro Bus and Rail.
Listeners, we're going to take some of your phone calls, and we got a lot of comments coming in on our various platforms. You can call the program toll-free, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Before we do that, Bill Carpenter, CEO of RTS, mentioned Amazon. And I want to read some comments from Dan Gilbert, who is the founder of Quicken Loans based in Detroit. He's also known as the guy trying to single-handedly ruin my Cleveland Cavaliers as the owner of the Cavs, but let's focus on his role as a Detroit business leader. And here's what Dan Gilbert, he wrote a public letter after Amazon did not include Detroit in their cut for possible homes for a new headquarters. Detroit was one of the largest American cities that did not make Amazon's list. And Gilbert wrote the following in a public letter. quote, transportation needs to be addressed. What became crystal clear to us from countless surveys, discussions, observations, studies, and even Amazon itself is that having a strong mass transit solution is the ante to play for a millennial workforce, as well as for the most successful and dynamic companies in the world. Amazon conducted an internal survey of their own employees, and the results showed that the ability to move seamlessly around a city with strong mass transit was a critical priority. Companies like Amazon and their employee base require dynamic and reliable transit. If we are determined to attract existing opportunities to metropolitan Detroit, then it's time to get in a room and figure it out, end quote. Well, that's what Dan Gilbert says about Detroit. And I wonder, Bill Carpenter, if that at least extends a little bit in your mind why Rochester isn't on the list for Amazon as well.
Well, Amazon obviously picked larger cities than Rochester, and so I don't want to compare why did they pick us or not pick us. We were strongly considered by Forbes. And I've talked to employers downtown with millennials who don't want a car spot in the parking garage. And when you say, well, how do they get to their appointments off-site? They use Uber and Lyft. They use RTS. So there is that understanding already that folks have a different paradigm. Millennial, and I've got a number of children who are millennials, they would prefer not owning the car. They understand the freedom of not having all your money tied up in such a stagnant asset so much of the time.
Jason, does your from your perspective with Reconnect Rochester, did you follow the Amazon sweepstakes, and did you think that we were in trouble because of the setup with public transit?
I did think we were in trouble. I think one of the biggest issue is, you know, Bill and his team have done the best with the, you know, the pocket of money they have. But I compare it to internet. You know, transportation is infrastructure the same way the internet has become infrastructure. And I feel like our transportation is still like a 56K modem kind of infrastructure. And it's time to get into that high speed, that transportation that we need. You know, if we had done a proposal to Amazon that said, hey, we have this great dial-up internet access here, you know, they would have thought we were crazy. And then same thing, I'm sure, with transportation. Hey, when we have buses that come along every 45, every 60, 75 minutes, they're looking at it and it's just, you know, it just probably isn't adequate for our 21st century company.
Seth Triggs, again, Vice President for Citizens for Regional Transit. I want to set Amazon aside, but at least look at Dan Gilbert's comment that, quote, having a strong mass transit solution is the ante to play for a millennial workforce as well as for the most successful and dynamic companies in the world for modern American cities, end quote, and ask if you agree with that.
I do agree. In fact, I've seen some of the effects here in Buffalo. We actually have the only upstate rail transit system, and that's been something that even without a sustained transit-oriented development policy, we've still seen a number of successful ventures by it. We've got a very large increase in the residential population downtown, and there are a lot of people who are enjoying the ability to use high quality transit nearby, but to also not happen to need a car. I happen to be such a resident where I live downtown, and that I think that's a very important puzzle for a 21st century workforce, to be able to have options of getting around where you don't just have to buy a car, which is a very significant expense for a number of people, where you can actually walk around, you can bike, you can use transit. There are all kinds of different options, and millennials like that.
So let me get a comment from Twitter that I want our listeners, I'll start with you, Seth, our panelists, I'll start with Seth, to respond to. Jason on Twitter writes the following: why not create a vision for improved transit and take it to the public to vote on a sales tax increase to pay for it? That's how other cities have funded transit projects. Maybe it will pass, maybe fail, but we don't even seem to want to try. Also, New York State continues to subsidize jobs in far-flung locations. Did RTS or the NFTA or the Statewide Association of Transit Operators come out publicly to oppose projects like Stamp in Genesee County, for example? Finally, transit money is tight. Stop trying to cover low-density areas that cannot support transit. You need at least 8 dwelling units per acre to support reasonable transit. If you live in low-density, semi-rural areas, you should not expect public water service, nor should you expect public transit service, end quote. So that's a lot there in that comment. But Seth, maybe you're going to work backwards, and I'll start with you on that. What do you think?
Okay, well, first of all, I do agree that we we definitely ought to be spending more on transit and things like that. I guess I can talk about the whole bit about utility of going into rural areas. Sometimes when you have a low density area, sometimes those areas do harbor jobs. So that's part of increasing the utility of the system. But beyond that, definitely we need to focus more on more of the funding for this, and definitely advocate more for what are called I keep forgetting the thing, but they're voter initiatives, and those actually win a lot of the time out there in the world. So I think that's something that we should definitely put onto the ballot.
Okay, and what about Jason Partika, what about this question on, putting in, giving voters a chance to take a look at whatever the change is here? The notion that Jason is raising on Twitter that, sales tax increases might pay for improved transit, but we haven't even tried here.
I mean, I think those are all great ideas, and Reconnect Rochester will encourage it. I think we would support like an extra sales tax of, 25 basis points, extra 0.25% or something like that. If that revenue was dedicated to transportation, we would support that. And however that goes, if you want to make it a public referendum, if you just want to, the county legislator wants to pay it, whatever mechanism that takes, that would be fine. And then the same thing with just the redesign. I think we've done a good job here. There's been plenty of public meetings, plenty of opportunities to give a bunch of input. And I hope everybody's taken advantage of that and continues to take advantage of that.
Bill Carpenter, you have the advantage of not just being CEO of RTS, but also you've been a budget guy for a long time. So when Jason on Twitter says, why not create a vision for improved transit and take it to the public to vote on a sales tax increase to pay for it? That's how other cities have funded their transit projects. Is that right? Do you agree with that?
Well, I have a lot of peers in Ohio, and in Ohio, every 10 years, you take your budget to the public and vote on a sales tax, 25 basis points, 50 basis points. Whatever is needed for that vision and to fund it. Here in New York State, beyond 3 cents of local sales tax, so you have in Monroe County 8 cents, the first 4 cents are New York State, and then there's 3 cents that the county legislature can vote on, but anything beyond 3 cents, the local community and then the state has to vote on it. So the idea of, well, let's go to the community and ask for another 25 basis points, as Jason suggested, would have to be approved by New York State Legislature. And so that's why the State Association has simply said, okay, New York State, if you want us to use sales tax, you recommend it. If you want to use fuel tax, you recommend it. There's plenty of revenue sources. There's settlement funds each year. They're giving $194 million this year to the MTA from settlement funds. We're looking for $50 million for upstate transit. Dedicate settlement funds for it. So there's a lot of different places, but the idea of is recommended just take it to the local voters. In New York State, it would require state legislation to do it. So I do want to compliment our state legislature, though, where it's happened under Governor Cuomo's watch that we've seen over a 25% increase. But after a 15% decline under Governor Patterson, that's how you end up with much less funding over the long term. It's really been Assembly Chair David Gant, Senate Chair of Transportation Joe Robach, and their advocacy for upstate transit. If you look specifically at the governor's budget, while he signs off on the final budget each year, his initial budget has not included that much funding. It's really a joint partnership, the legislature and the governor ultimately, that's gotten us the increases we have. But as I've said, we need much more funding to meet the demands and to have the quality of life people are looking for.
Jason, you want to follow up? Go ahead.
Yeah, if I may, Evan. Just one more funding source that probably doesn't get a lot of talk is actually using highway funds as well to fund transit. There are options in the legislation that creates these funds that are rarely exercised, but it would be nice to see, we spend a lot of money on highways, and sometimes the return on investment might not be as great as you think. You create a new bypass, you spend $100 million, people get to work 5 minutes faster. Where if we had spent that money on transit, you might, an hour commute by transit might become 30 minutes. It'd be a life-changing thing for that kind of money.
Okay. Co-sign on that one, Bill? Does that make sense to you?
Well, again, this is why we're going to Albany and saying there's a lot of pots of money. Do you understand the need? Because if you understand the need, you'll make it a priority.
All right, Jane, give us a call back because I was going to grab your call in just a second there, but we lost Jane. But she wanted to talk about money available or not available for the bus. Give us a call back, Jane, and I'll grab your phone call at 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255. Seth Triggs is the Vice President for Citizens for Regional Transit, and we're going to lose you in a minute. So why don't you give us some final thoughts on what you want people to understand about your group and how you want people to get more involved.
Well, definitely we want people to be able to impress upon their local and state representatives that public transit is a very important piece of the puzzle for the community, and it's a lifeline, in fact, for a number of people in our communities, especially many of the most vulnerable among us, such as the elderly. So we definitely want to encourage people to speak out for benefit for it to help get more funding for upstate systems, which even though they may not be as large as the MTA, they are still every bit as important in the lives of the people that they touch. And we definitely want to be able to get the assistance for expansion projects such as that for the Metro Rail in Buffalo. We want to be able to extend the reach of the system and therefore allow those faster commutes, allow people greater access to opportunity.
Seth, thanks for taking the time to join us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Seth Triggs, Vice President for Citizens for Regional Transit. I promised I'd grab Jane's call, and she has a question that is Rochester-centric. So let's grab Jane's call before our only break. Go ahead, Jane.
Evan, I just wanted us to take a step back and look at the big picture here about our economy and how much money we have. I heard over the weekend on NPR that we have a $19 trillion economy. And then I heard that, I guess it was 2017 or late 2017, that we had recently added $8 trillion in earnings and profits to the stock market. That's what was made, $8 trillion. And that 80% of it went to the 1% of the 1%, which comes out to a little more than $6 trillion to the 1% of the 1%, who've just received a grotesque, to me, amount of tax cuts. So when we talk about, oh, where will we get the money, I just want to remind people that we have the money. And for the bus to have to spend time begging for crumbs, I think we need to think about that and our set of values and where is the political will in terms of things for the general population. And it just drives me crazy that we even would consider that we don't have enough money. It seems to me that these people that made the $6 trillion should not have gotten a massive tax cut as they did. And then we're thinking about a sales tax, which is regressive. Thank you very much.
Jane, thanks for the phone call. So just before I let Bill Carpenter weigh in, I would just say I certainly understand the core of Jane's point that the people who often need public transit, a bus system, are people with less income. RTS has a goal of making the bus sort of available, even cool for everybody, and that's something to keep in mind going forward. But Jane's point stands: no matter what happens with RTS, or no matter whether you see, you know, a cross section of the community on the bus, because there are some people who don't necessarily have more options. And Bill, do you agree with her characterization that you are begging Albany for crumbs?
I really appreciate that we've got a governor who's saying we need to put a limit on how fast the state budget is going to grow. And it really does come down to, have we educated the legislators and the community enough that our community would be of better quality and grow faster with good public transit? And if it is, I think the dollars are there to be reprioritized. If it takes some additional funding, I do think there's a lot of good options. And everyone from their political persuasion and personal perspective would have where that money should come from. But when you're looking at the MTA and the executive budget getting a 7.4% increase and the rest of New York State getting a 1% increase, for $50 million you can solve that problem, and $155 billion budget, I think you can find $50 million.
Okay, a couple quick questions from listeners before the break. Carl writes in to say, and I know you've heard this question before, Bill, when we're talking about more funding for RTS, RTS is now looking at revamping bus transit in Rochester. Shouldn't this have been done before building a new transit center?
And I go back to the comment Jason met before, and there's so many in our community that do complement RTS for what we've built there, having a beautiful and national award-winning transit center. We get weather in our community, and the idea of the shelters that the city had invested in the 1980s for our customers to wait in on Main Street, while a nice attempt to provide good transfer points, I just tell people, can you imagine going to the airport, having your ticket stamped, and then being told to wait outside for your next airplane? We don't do that with trains. And yet somehow it's always been acceptable in this community to have that type of facility, transfers downtown, on Main Street, in all kinds of weather, until November of 2014. We now have 10 million people a year go through our transit center. Beautiful airport has about 2.5 million people go through there. The train station, a little less than 200,000 people a year go through it. We have more than 200,000 people a week go through the transit center. Great investment in our customers, great place for information. It's safe, comfortable in the winter, comfortable in the summer, in the rain, even on a nice day. It's just fun to meet up with your friends at the transit center.
And one more question from a listener. This is an interesting question, I admit. Jim is emailing to ask if we need consultants, because he says you've got a strategic planner who's not on the program today, and that's former county executive Maggie Brooks. So what is Ms. Brooks's role in all of this, and what would you say to Jim, who says you've got someone in that job? Why do you need to hire a consultant?
So Russ Chisholm in Transportation Management and Design has done this work all over the country. They do take the local information, but they have the advantage of identifying best practice. Maggie Brooks has been with us for 2 years. She has done flat out a phenomenal job. Last week she was promoted to Executive Vice President from Vice President. I think the Chamber of Commerce tells me how well she works with them, Empire State Development, legislators on both sides of the aisle, our customers. She is a hardworking executive doing great things for the authority. But as far as taking a look, my staff has a lot of personal investment in what our system looks like. We really needed to bring someone in from the outside with the capacity to take all the data we have, organize it in a way that makes a compelling case for this is what your system should look like. And then my staff will implement it. Maggie Brooks will be a big part of communicating it, what needs to be done, why it needs to be done. But hiring the consultant was the right thing to do.
You're hearing the voice of Bill Carpenter, the CEO of Rochester's Regional Transit Service and the president of the New York State Public Transit Association. We're here because Bill and his colleagues were in Albany recently, letting the governor and state leaders know that when it comes to transit funding at the state level, the MTA, the Metropolitan Transit Authority in New York City, which runs the subway system there, they're in line for a 7% plus, is that right, Bill, increase? 7.4% funding increase, whereas the rest of New York State's transit systems are in line for about a 1% increase. And Bill and his colleagues are saying, we've got a lot of need, we've got a lot of growing interest and demand, and 1% really doesn't look like parity compared to MTA. So what comes out of that, and what would that mean? What would that impact be here in Rochester and in Western New York if there were more of an emphasis on improving the transit systems, the bus systems, other modes of transportation? So Bill's here. Also here is Jason Partika, chair of the Bus Work Group for Reconnect Rochester, and we'll come right back right here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections, I'm joined by author Elaine Weiss, who has a new book called The Woman's Hour. 100 years ago, a fight was playing out that would determine the future of women's suffrage. 35 states had ratified the 19th Amendment, and they needed one more. It would come down to Tennessee, and some of the biggest names in the country were there. We're going to hear about the story that you might never have heard. Tuesday on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. We've got Jason Partika, Bill Carpenter with us in studio, and now on the line with us is Deborah Hunley, the president of Providence Services of Syracuse. And Deborah, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about what your organization does?
Thank you. What we are doing is trying to fill the gaps for public transportation in Syracuse. Our system is set up in a way that really is not real helpful for people in the city to be able to get to the job centers. And we have 30% unemployment in Syracuse, and it's not because people don't want to work, they just can't get there. So what we've done is we've developed a model, we call it a modified van pool. And so what we do is we offer transportation to people who live in the city, who would work in surrounding areas, for example, like East Syracuse and places like that, that have job centers that would hire them. We have quite a few companies that have openings. They're desirous of being able to have more workers and more diversity. But there's just no way with the bus system, the way it's set up, to be able to get people to and back home at the end of the day, unless you have a model like we are doing to fill that gap.
And so what Deborah's describing is something that Rochester, I mean, it's not perfectly apples to apples, but certainly Bill Carpenter, the question on about making sure people either in poverty, people who really want to work, who may not have a car or a way to get directly to work easily, have good options. And I wonder how much her commentary rings true to you, and how much do you, with RTS, do you go to Buffalo? Do you go to Syracuse? Do you look at other cities and try to figure out what's working here? What can we apply?
Yeah, so the term that I was using in Albany with the elected officials primarily is this term, you know, they say upstate it's roads and bridges, and I say, well, transit is the infrastructure for access, and the infrastructure for access is crumbling. And you've just heard a passionate woman make the point better than I can. Here locally, we've partnered with the city of Rochester using state grant money to establish a van pool program. When employers say, hey, how come your 40-foot bus doesn't come out here? We say, because you've only got six or eight people. A caller earlier said, when there's so few people, why would you send public transit? But there's job access concerns, and we want to meet those access concerns. So we've partnered with Enterprise and the city, and we subsidize through the grant the cost of the van pool, making it as attractive for them to use a van to get to work as buying a monthly bus pass. But in Albany, they need to understand transit is the infrastructure for access.
When it comes to van pooling, before I get back to some phone calls, what does it look like? If someone's actually van pooling, what's their day like, Bill?
So we have, I think it's two or three vans going out to Pactiv out in Ontario County in Farmington. They either meet at a particular spot. There'll be a temporary employment agency that the employees will meet there, and the van will then, one of the people will drive. They've been properly trained, will drive the van out to work, come back, or they'll meet right from the transit center at a predetermined time, take the bus to the transit center and forget this complicated 2-hour length of time to get to the job. Quick trip from where you live to the transit center, and then from the transit center directly to work, back at the end of your shift to the transit center on home again.
Would you, and is there a consideration to expand van pooling?
We have funding to do 25 or 30 van pools. We've got about a half dozen currently.
Okay, and what's the timetable for rolling that out?
It's simply finding the, so with a van, it's not something that, say, everyone wants to go out to Henrietta. They need to have a specific location in Henrietta they're trying to get to. So it's finding that employer that can get a 6 or 8 or 10 people that want to go from a starting point to the final point. Much more cost effective than us sending a bus. Modest cost for the employees. It's a great alternative to public transit.
Let me work in some phone calls from listeners who have different ideas on how to address some of these issues. Douglas in Rochester first. Go ahead, Douglas.
Yes, I was just wondering, I know it's inconvenient, but could we have a slight fare increase for RTS services? And secondly, in a more progressive time, could we have solar power on RTS buses during the summer, and that we could greatly reduce fares possibly?
Douglas, thank you. Increase the fare, Bill.
So our board is committed to keeping the fare at a dollar as long as possible. So many of our customers, the cost of public transportation is a significant bite of their discretionary income. So we're committed to maintaining that fare as long as possible. We do have, let the listeners know, six electric buses that we've received state and federal grant money to bring into our community. We're looking at what it's going to take on our campus to charge the electric buses and then putting together the specs for electric buses. I drive a Chevy Volt. It doesn't get the same mileage in the wintertime as it does in the summer, and you can't really buy buses just for the summer. So we're looking to make sure the bus, the batteries would last through Rochester winters, but you should see those rolling out sometime in 2020.
Okay, so I hope that answers that. Douglas, thank you. This is Tony in Rochester next. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, good morning. Or afternoon, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
With all the increased bicycle lanes that are being created around the city, would it be feasible to generate some type of revenue by licensing and registering these bicycles the same way you do automobiles? Because it just doesn't seem fair that the automobiles are paying for these roads, yet we're losing more and more roads to bike lanes who are actually riding off of our revenue, more or less.
All right, Tony.
Does that make sense?
Well, we're gonna. Our panel will tell you if they. And I appreciate the question. Sure. Thank you very much, Tony. Bill Carpenter first. What do you think?
So when I look at what is the wear and tear on a road due to a bike, versus the wear and tear on a car versus the wear and tear of a 40-foot bus. And I know we work very well with the city, and a shout-out to the mayor and Norm Jones, the commissioner of public works for the city. We do, at 38,000 pounds, put some wear and tear on the roads. The bikes don't put the near as much wear and tear on the road. Better for the environment, healthier for the individual. I think the community costs of more and more people biking have an added benefit than trying to license them to pay for that infrastructure.
There's no doubt. And Tony, I think, is well-intended with this question, but there's no doubt, Bill, that if we start licensing bikes, we're going to see fewer people riding, right?
I would think so. But I will tell you there's probably, and I think of my nephew who's passionate about having an active transportation lifestyle. If that's what it costs, that's what he'll pay, because it's such a better lifestyle choice for those that can do it.
Yeah, but I would guess your nephew, people in my family might be different, who I'm thinking of who bike to work every day or bike recreationally, might be different than some of the folks who have benefited from the R Bikes and the organizations around town that are really working hard. And I wonder, Deborah Hundley, do you see that in Syracuse? We've got organizations here that are repurposing bikes and making sure people have bicycles if they have need to get to work. I see that. I see the R Bikes logo around town quite a bit. Do you see anything like that in Syracuse?
There is some bicycling, but it's typically within the city itself, and it's really quite limited. I mean, when you drive around the city, I mean, there's not large numbers utilizing bikes to get to places. I do know people who do use their bike primarily to get where they need to go, but I think also based on where we live, I mean, this is Syracuse, so we have really bad weather, whether it be snow, rain, whatever. So it's not a primary way of getting around. Maybe if you're at SU and you want to go from one part of the campus to another, you might use a bike, but you don't see large numbers of people utilizing those.
Well, I can probably guess that Jason Partika, as the chair of the bus work group for Reconnect Rochester, is not campaigning for bike licenses.
You would be correct.
Okay, but here's something that I think you will kind of gravitate toward. Brendan emails the program and says, pitting upstate transit versus downstate transit is not productive. We need to look at transportation monies as a whole. Nearly 15% of the trips taken upstate are by transit, while 4% of transportation monies go to transit, the rest going to subsidize car-only highway projects, such as more than $500 million in highway projects currently being undertaken in the Rochester suburbs. This seems unfair and inequitable in the most basic terms. How do we produce parity here? And if he means parity in terms of funding projects for car-only projects versus multimodal, that's a long road to parity, but maybe something closer to parity. Jason, how do you feel about that?
You kind of took the words right out of my mouth. So we spend a lot of money on automobile infrastructure, and a lot of that is, you know, single-occupant automobile as well. And it's not just the roads. There's parking lots. There's an environmental cost, you know, not even specifically climate change from emissions, but just air quality in general from the exhaust and things like that. You know, if you have a parking lot, that's lost economic opportunity. You know, there could be a business there, there could be a church there, there could be whatever there. And instead, it just creates a dead zone that's completely unattractive to people moving in, people investing in a community. I would say, and then just to build on what Bill mentioned too, more bike lanes, actually more bike riders saves money. There's less wear and tear on the roads. And it is actually, you know, people actually get to work faster. One less more person on a bike is one less car that you're waiting behind at a traffic light. You know, if you want to get to work even faster in your car, there's pent up demand for stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of, you know, if we made stuff more bike friendly, more people would take it and would help car drivers as well.
All right, Bill, I'd like you to respond to the substance of the comment, but start with that first complaint from the listener who said pitting upstate versus downstate is unproductive.
Hopefully in Albany, they're not hearing we're pitting upstate versus downstate. What we're saying is the MTA has a problem. You've got the summer from hell last year, and it just was so clear, was written about so with such clarity. Upstate has a problem, and I'm not looking to take money from the MTA and the MTA doesn't get their problem solved. All I'm saying is when you come up with a revenue solution for the MTA to fix their problem, look at fixing the upstate New York problem. It's a transit problem for New York State, not an MTA problem. The amount of money that's needed, we've got some beautiful, you know, the Finger Lakes area, you've got rural areas, you've got rivers that need bridges. There's a lot of money for transportation for us to maintain the quality of life. In the urban areas, and we take care of the 8-county areas, so we see it in Warsaw, in Wolcott, in Rushville, New York, where there are seniors saying, hey, how can I live in my home? Is it just Uber and Lyft? Is RTS part of the solution? And to some extent, we are part of the solution, even in those areas. So provide people their choice for public transportation. And we do need to maintain an infrastructure for roads, bridges, and for access.
Deborah Hundley, we just got a few minutes left, so maybe I'll turn to you for some final thoughts when it comes to state funding for transportation. You know, we had a caller earlier this hour before the break who told us that she sees a very big pie of funding, and yet it feels like fighting for crumbs, and she thinks it should not be that way. I wonder how you view the transit situation here in upstate and what you'd like to see change.
Ah, thank you for the opening there. What I see is that there's an economic exclusion of people. And, you know, the monies that come up to upstate, they can be used for many, many things. But one of the aspects that's somewhat, I don't think it's just Syracuse, but a lot of unemployment is there, which costs everybody a lot of money to provide services to people who cannot get jobs. And given that, I would think that that should be a main priority to fix, being able to help people get the jobs by allowing transportation to be available. And I do not see money being spent in this area to do that. It's as if it doesn't exist. And, you know, we talk about poverty all the time, but we don't deal with it. And this is something that's been studied by the Federal Reserve. It's been studied by the United Nations. Transportation is a main impediment from people being able to get jobs. So I would like to see priority go to being able to have transportation to get people out of poverty to workplaces. I think bike trails and all that, that's fine, but that should be secondary to actually helping people rise out of poverty.
Deborah Hundley, the president of Providence Services of Syracuse. Thank you very much for taking the time, Deborah. Appreciate your thoughts today on the program.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And some final thoughts from Bill Carpenter on just how dramatic a change you think is coming here. You know, you're in the process of Reimagine RTS. It's been quite a process. Nothing's going to get done tonight or tomorrow or next week. But a year from now and 5 years from now, we're going to be looking at some big changes. But how big do you think is coming here, Bill?
Yeah, I think you're really talking about two, three, four, 5 years down the road. We'll lay out the plans, but just like so many other plans, we want people to understand it, buy into it, and then it needs to be built out. But I think 3 or 5 years from now, a person who wants to live in this community without a car, the goal is to have a public transportation system that can get them to a job that's properly located, healthcare, retail, education, so that they can enjoy life without a car and our community can prosper.
Within the next 3 to 5 years?
Within the next 3 to 5 years.
I mean, I'm still going to be sitting in this chair, so we're going to have that conversation in 3 to 5 years.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. And to learn more about Reimagine RTS, RTS is online where, Bill Carpenter?
MyRTS.com.
Bill is the CEO of RTS and the president of the New York State Public Transit Association. Thanks for the time, as always, Bill.
Thanks, Evan.
Jason Partika, chair of the bus work group for Reconnect Rochester. Reconnect Rochester, online where, Jason?
ReconnectRochester.org.
Thanks for taking the time. You and the organization are always very accessible. You're supposed to be, though, because you're called Reconnect. You're supposed to be accessible.
Exactly. Right?
So I shouldn't compliment you on something you're supposed to do. Thank you for being here, though. Always good to have you. Always good to have Tim George behind the glass with us, engineering the program, Megan Mack, the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon. Become a WXXI member and talk to us Tuesday on member-supported public radio.